of cream, red roses juice.
This is Ed Cohen, editor and host of Global Radio Talk Show, broadcast of globalbusinessnews.net. We're on the Corporate Relations Network today. We have a very special guest, Cynthia Pettico, executive with Intel, program development manager. And we're going to be talking to Cynthia about a project in China, which has gotten really good reviews, and going to find out more about doing business, not only as Intel, but in China, and what that's all about, and dealing with expats, and dealing with surprises. Let's welcome Cynthia Pettico.
Hi, Ed. How are you today?
That's great. So you're in Austin, Texas today, correct?
I am.
And this is your home?
It is. I do travel a lot, but I love to call Austin my home.
So does Intel have a facility in Austin area?
We have a design and engineering facility here, manufacturing, really designing the latest chips.
Okay, so now we're going to be talking about China and Intel's investment into China, not from a dollar point of view, but from a talent point of view. Okay, so Intel makes chips and has been a long time. They're a huge company, and they began investing in China.
We've had employees on the ground there for about close to 20 years. But the special project we did was launched in 2006, making an announcement that we would build a $2.5 billion manufacturing facility. So that was definitely the largest investment China announced in 2006.
It was in Dalian, not in Shanghai or Beijing. Where is Dalian relevant to Shanghai and Beijing?
Dalian is a city of 7 million people. It's interesting. We've never heard of it. It's a very large city. It is located between Beijing and North Korea. There's a peninsula, and it is on the peninsula surrounded by ocean water. It's actually a very, very pretty city, certainly a tier two city in terms of China's population.
Amazing, isn't it? 7 million, tier two. Well, let's talk about why Dalian, and from the ground up, I assume, is built from the ground up, right?
It is. We did not attach to any of our other facilities. We did what we call a greenfield site, starting from identifying, you know, the acreage and building the entire factory from the ground up. Dalian was selected for several reasons. To begin with, our site selection committee probably started this late the 1990s. We've got to look at infrastructure, natural resources, taxes, transportation, seismic activity, supply chain. An enormous amount goes into the decision where to build a fab. But also, they have many universities in the area, and we knew that we could recruit a talented workforce to sustain our factory.
And what was your role?
My role was to develop, as it turned out, an expatriate ecosystem, a whole infrastructure that would attract our expatriate workforce to help launch the factory in Dalian. We talked about the reasons Dalian was selected, but one of the reasons, one of the infrastructure problems we did face, being that it was a tier two city, there was really no expatriate infrastructure, no international schools, medical clinics, or even adequate housing. So my job was to develop the entire infrastructure.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay, let's zero in. Let's dial into this thing now. Where did the talent come from? That's a broad question. I'm sorry.
It is a broad question. First of all, some of our tools in our factories are they're multi-million dollar tools. This is rocket science that we're producing. So we really needed to rely on the talent we already have to be able to install the tools, calibrate the tools, and then do the training for the next generation of workers. We really had to recruit from our own workforce and convince them to move from New Mexico or Arizona or Ireland to accept this assignment in Dalian for a couple years. What's interesting about many of our workforce profiles is they had not really traveled a lot before. Many had never had a passport before. So you're really taking people that had never been outside the U.S. or certainly in an emerging city and try to recruit them for this two-year assignment. And all we had to show initially was dirt. So it was real important to get the infrastructure started so we could recruit this really important talent that we needed over there.
Cynthia, did you interview families or just the target employee?
That's a good question. Because of the specific skill set, we really only recruited the employees. We provided so much information to the spouses. We actually moved a lot of our information behind our firewall to in front of the firewall so the spouses could access a lot of information. We held meet and greet dinners. We did a lot to build community even before we moved them to Dalian so that there would be some familiarity with people as well as some of the services. It was definitely risk-taking. One of the things we did, Ed, was we required a preview trip where they had to go to Dalian and look at the infrastructure and then as a family make a determination whether they could live there or not.
So in the preview dinners in the U.S., did you serve local food or just bring in some chopsticks?
Actually, I think we had lasagna. Our catering department at Intel is pretty limited, so our meet and greet dinners were at Intel facilities. And I think, like lasagna, we had at every of the meet and greet dinners. One thing we did do was we were able to bring representatives of the school and representatives of the medical clinic over to the United States so that really the spouses could have, again, firsthand knowledge and ask specific questions to determine whether they would make a good fit or not.
Where would these people, where do they live in Dalian? And did it create too many problems?
The housing was the most difficult. This was at a time when China was absolutely booming, as well as the skyrocketing cost of housing was just exploding. This was difficult. Intel builds outside of a city. We require a lot of acreage, and we have expansion plans one day. So we had a lot of acreage. It's really outside the city and, again, away from any infrastructure. We had to work with developers, local Chinese developers, and create a few housing developments that we thought would be large enough to accommodate some of our large families. We do not own housing, so we really had to convince these developers that we would rent for a few years and then they could sell the housing afterwards. The quality and construction of the housing was what we would consider inadequate, and so we actually worked with them on some safety standards and construction standards to ensure that they would be more safe and have more quality built into the homes.
And so once there, did you have a struggle with the quality of water or electricity or light? Let's just deal with that, water and electricity, basic stuff.
Yeah, we had some heat issues as well. Again, being away from the city, many of those utilities were not available in the area initially
right.
that we wanted to build homes. So really it was the developers had to provide the get the utilities and the heat brought in when they bore those costs themselves. In terms of water, we did provide some water filtration for the homes there. It's not quite as bad as other countries, but we went ahead and wanted to be safe as possible, so we did provide water filtration.
So in general, did it work satisfactorily for people to not only come but stay?
It did. And I know you know most of the metrics around successful assignments involves no early or failed assignments. And we did not have any failed assignments. No one came home early. And for 300 expats, that's pretty amazing. We ended up having a community of about 900 once we had the spouses and the children. Not only did they stay for their 2 or 3 year assignment, many stayed on for an extra year or two after that. And really, that would not have happened unless we had the solid school, housing, and medical clinic to offer them.
Sounds fascinating.
It's so unique. We're so different than other industries. We just don't put a fence around and say you live here. We really wanted to create a legacy with some of our partnerships and some of our infrastructure and provide as many choices as we could to the expats. And I think we did a really good job of that.
Were there a couple of lessons learned that have been instructive as to looking at another event, another time, another place?
Well, as a $2.5 billion investment, we won't be doing those very often, and we'll continue to add on to our other existing sites. There's many lessons learned. One of them, of course, is to you've got to maintain flexibility and adaptability. We had a saying, you know, TIC, this is China, and when things just didn't seem to be going right, we added a little humor and took some deep breaths, and just it was the code name TIC. For me, I think another lesson learned was our partners were key. We had selected amazing partners to help construct the K-12 International School and our medical clinic. So shared vision, shared resources, and our partners were key. Managing expectations, again, talking really around with the spouses. Your ovens are going to be different. Your closets are going to be different. You're going to have a driver. You're not going to have the flexibility to get it in the car and moving yourself. So really trying to manage those expectations and promote a global mindset. I think those were some of the key lessons we learned on this really large project.
I'm struggling with trying to comprehend how it must have been for people to come. And, I mean, everything was work and everybody was probably bonding right away. But then after a while, I would think that people had their own ways and their own lives. So how did you manage the interim 6 months out after landing, for instance, 6, 7, 8 months after beginning living in the area? How did you handle that kind of time frame and the inevitable dips in emotional quality of life, if you will?
Sure. And also, we looked at the expat model, cultural adaptation. So we shared that. We really engaged people that this was going to most likely be your experience. We moved not all 300 families at once. We moved in different waves, if you will. And
uh-huh.
Each wave kind of had their own personality. The first was very entrepreneurial and innovative, and the second and third kind of groups were wanting things more established. What we did is we created, as part of our infrastructure, an expat resource center. So we had enormous amount of wellness activities to keep people in shape and exercise and really good eating habits. In terms of the Export Resource Center, also provided lots of questions. Where could I get a magician for my kid's birthday party? What is all this in the stores? Going through the food stores in China can be pretty daunting. So we would take groups of people through the stores and identify what was what. After the glow burned off, the daily living got to be a grind for many, and we really helped support them through this, what we called our Export Resource Center. Over time, what I call the last generation of moved into Dalian. Most folks and most of the spouses were pretty savvy and took it upon themselves to help one another through book clubs, through coffee networks, but it really took some leadership from some of the spouses to make that happen.
Yeah, it's to be expected, of course. So that's a pleasant surprise, and so what about disappointment? Were there any?
Of course. I think the largest one was the housing, not only the prices, but really the availability and quality in North China. I think that was definitely a disappointment. It did all work out, but there was, and really became part of a business problem, because if our housing wasn't ready in time, then we couldn't move the people over in order to install the tools. So we created very much an ecosystem. One infrastructure was dependent on the other, and it all had to do with the business needs. One other disappointment is we did stop the factory build for about 6 months, which left many expats on the ground without solid work and without knowing what their destiny was. And that was difficult to sustain the attitudes and to sustain the excitement about this international assignment when there was some business expectations that didn't go quite right.
Okay, so during this downtime, for whatever the reason, doesn't matter, but were you involved in the management of that time frame, and how did you handle that?
I was involved for the expat infrastructure, yes. We did not move over any more people. So the ones there still had work to do. So we never stopped having work to do for the ones that were there on the ground. We just did not move over anymore until we had a definite construction timeline. We did have to deal with that. Some of the spouses had already quit their jobs. Some had already sold their homes. And we really did have to scramble to be able to provide some benefits for those that had not moved over yet and had already left their jobs. For the ones that stayed in Dalian, I think we really ramped up our wellness. We had a lot of hikes that we did. We had a lot of social events. We got involved in some charity work. So we really tried to keep our small Dalian community engaged while they were over there waiting for the others to move.
Okay, so what about mixing with the local population? There was no drive to foster assimilation, was there?
I think so. Again, we don't put a big fence around and, you know, mandate that people live there. We wanted them to have as much of a local experience as they could. I do believe that the way that we engaged with the charity work fostered definitely some local relationships. I think working with the school teachers who were very active and working with the local population, and then our spouses got involved with them. So we didn't say, oh, you all meet, but it happened organically. We did a lot of cross celebrations around Christmas. We lived in a very, very small town, like I mentioned, out in the country. And through the charity work and through some cultural exchange, they really deepened their respect and relations with the local community.
Interesting. So the workforce that did come in and is there now is really two parts. What came in during your startup and then what is there now. Is it American or are you bringing people in from Ireland and Israel and other places?
The 300 expats, we had about 85% from the United States. We also brought in expatriate workers from our factories in Israel, Ireland, a few from Malaysia, Philippines. So we had our own little global community, but primarily it was the United States.
So what's going on today?
We are actually, as planned, we are moving everyone back. We will sustain 30 to 40 expats and their families there for an ongoing basis and for two-year assignments. But, Ed, we've moved back about 260 expats and about 800 of their family members. So from a huge community of 900, we're down to about 93.
Repatriation in many companies is not a priority, but obviously, I'm going to guess that in this case, it was a big priority, a top priority, to make sure everything goes well during the comeback. Is that right?
It is right. Again, we had very limited choice of the workforce we could send there, and in order to have them agree to this, we did provide a job guarantee once they came back to their home country. That was the first time Intel had done something like that. So having the job guarantee was definite perk to be able to recruit and retain our workforce. The other, I think, support mechanisms that Intel provided, we went through the repatriation cycle. There's a lot of repatriation books out there for spouses. I was able to ship a lot over there. So we could actually talk about, it's not an easy process to repatriate, and some of the things that could help both the children and the families do so successfully.
Right. And so about the repatriation and the job succession, as much as you can talk about, I'd be interested to learn about the job guarantee, but it didn't say what job, because you just don't know what the market would need or what the need of the work place was. So how is that working out now? Are people finding their ways to, okay, they may have landed in one position because it was guaranteed, but now there's adjustments going on, I would assume. And are people using their expertise gained? I would hope they would be, but is it actually happening? Can you document any successes?
I think one of my biggest disappointment is not having enough post-return data or do any surveys. So a lot of this is anecdotal. Many of the jobs that they came back to were not from their place where they left from. For example, if they left from New Mexico, most of the jobs when they came back were in Arizona. So people did have to make a choice. Did they want to stay with Intel and move to a different part of the country, or did they want to leave Intel? What was fortunate in our case, Ed, is that we were adding on to a factory in Arizona, so that many of the folks that left Dalian really had another matching job to go to. As with most repatriations, I do not think that we have leveraged the knowledge, the international knowledge and skills from our workforce. We really never had any deep dive discussions afterwards of what it's like building and training a local workforce in China. I don't think we really did a significant job. As with other things, we just dive in and start our work over.
Fascinating conversation with you, Cynthia. Thank you very much for being our special guest. So what is next for you?
That's an excellent question, Ed. I've recently won 4 industry awards for this work, and I'm having the opportunity to share my story and experiences of how Intel really did a wonderful job of duty of care. Looking forward to helping Intel or other companies provide the services and resources for a very successful expat assignment, and I love the challenge of interesting locations. So I look forward to my next steps, not quite identified, but open to new ideas.
And I welcome you to our Houston conference in November of 2014. Looking forward to having you be our VIP guest and faculty member at that.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well. I've got some wonderful slides to share and some stories.
That's great. We've been talking with Cynthia Reed Pettico from Intel, the Program Development Manager for this massive project in Dalian, China. Thank you so much for being my special executive guest on Global Radio Talk Show and the Corporate Relations Network. This is Ed Cohen, editor of Global Business News, signing off from Old Town in San Diego.
I think to myself, what a wonderful